Oh, groovy, baby.
Come with me if you want to live.
right, sweetheart. So what are you waiting for? Breakfast in bed? Another glorious day in the Corps. Day in the Marine Corps is like a day on the farm. Every meal's a banquet. Every paycheck a fortune. Every formation a parade. I love the Corps.
Oh my gosh. Yes, that's the way to start a show. You kick it off with a whole bunch of new music. That was the 427s off of their Stay Gold CD. I played Julie Newmar's guitar, Bikini Thief, and Victory City. Oh, who are we and why are we and what are we? Well, of course, this is the Indie Circuit, Radio St. Pete exclusive. My name is Mao, with me as usually.
Promi.
And yes, this is.
Wow, you're just calling it like it is now, huh?
This is the
show. That's rough.
Show bringing you dumb talk and good music. Sometimes good talk and dumb music. But we try to keep a nice balance.
Exactly.
Yeah, so what do you got going on this week? Anything new and exciting? Got a new exciting shirt. That's pretty cool.
Old school. It's an old exciting shirt. But,
nice. Yes. Yeah. And it says old school and it has a TV with a hanger on it. You know, like tube TVs. A lot of the younger listeners who aren't listening to this because no one young listens to this. A lot of the young listeners would be like, I don't understand what that big thing is.
You know, the funny thing is I've probably had this shirt maybe half as long as I've known you.
Wow.
Maybe longer.
It even has like the accenting. That's really cool. The
great radio.
The seams.
Describe it. Fear of the mind.
Yes, fear of the mind. Whoa.
Yeah.
It's like a dark red or like a, I guess a maroonish or whatever.
Yeah, brown.
And brown and the ink's like a mustard yellow, but the stitching matches the ink.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I never saw one of those that had the outlining stuff on it.
Very, very high end.
Cutting edge stuff.
From a decade ago when I bought this shirt.
Wow. Time flies when you don't
notice
anything. I unearthed
it, though. I haven't worn it in probably 5 years.
Yes. Unearthing old clothing. It's good stuff.
Well, you know, it comes back around, you know?
Yeah. I'm just waiting for it to be
cool. It was only moderately cool then, and now it's, you know.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe it's off the chart. And
if I lose it for another half decade or more.
10 Fonzies.
I might be able to sell it, you know? It'll be real. It'll actually be vintage. Not only will it look vintage, but it'll be,
yes. You know, wow, that's good.
That's meta.
That is good stuff. I have a bunch of stuff I should sell. I don't even know where. I got some like clothing that was like long time ago, like where I like Jimi Hendrix looking shirts and stuff like that, you know. And that's made for thin people, and I'm not thin, so I don't know why I got it. But anyway, I thought I could fit in them, and I was like, still didn't. And I was like, you know what? No. So these are like new with tags. I don't even know what you would do with such a thing. They've been hanging in my closet. They're brand new. Still have the tags on them like that. And I'm like, oh, I should sell this. And I'm thinking, do I sell this on eBay? Because I don't know, man. What, I don't know where you would go to broker unused clothing that you bought mistakenly and never fit into.
We should have a store. Call it like resizing.
The ad even said these are cut very thin. And I'm like, wow. And I cut like a 2X very thin. Fat guy in a little shirt. I'm like, well, hang this back up and never see it again. Yeah,
I think they refer to that as fitted.
Yes, I was.
What they don't understand is that plus size individuals do not like to feel fitted.
I was fitted to be tided. Yeah. All right, well, that's enough of that bad pun. Here's some music. We'll be right back.
Johnny, what can you make out of this?
This? Well, I could make a cap, or a brooch, or a pterodactyl.
We'll be right back. Now I swear, the next one of you primates even touches me. Yeah!
It's just a farmhouse and looks pretty innocent from the road. But once you're inside, you'll see what really happens on a terror farm. Invasion of the Blood Farmers. Coming in the dead of night, coming to plant the living and harvest the dead. Are you strong enough? More raw terror, more stomach-turning shock than you can take. Therefore, we warn you, don't eat before you see Invasion of the Blood Farmers, and you'll have nothing to lose. They plant the living and harvest the dead. Invasion of the Blood Farmers, released by NMD Films, in color, rated PG, parental guidance suggested.
It's your old pal Krusty for my new pork sandwich, the Clogger. If you can find a greasier sandwich, you're in Mexico.
Oh my gosh, off-air content. Yeah. Not fun for listeners. Anyway. Yeah.
But it was fun for, you know what, it brings us back in a jovial mood.
It does. That was the Detroit Cobras from their Mink, Rat, or Rabbit
Cobra
CD.
Kai.
The Maybe Cobra not. Kai. Sweep the leg, Johnny. And it was a bad girl hitting on nothing. And Breakaway. Good stuff. I do enjoy me some Detroit Cobras. I think that would be a fun one to watch live. Something tells me things get really crazy and out of hand pretty quickly at those concerts. Could be wrong, though. I guess we'll find out one day.
One day.
You know, I was went down a weird path. I was. I found some.
Literally or figuratively?
Figuratively. Okay. I had to think what literally.
Because if you were going to say literally, it was like, ooh, I went for a walk in the woods.
Yes, and I found a skull. No, but I found a dead body at a railroad track, and then me and some friends went a long journey. Aw, old movies.
Somebody
anyway,
told a story about eating pies. And, yeah.
Anyway, I found like there's a Randy Macho Man Savage socks, and I was like, oh, that's awesome. I want those. And then I started,
where did you find these? Were these by the railroad track? Oh, no.
They're online. And I was gonna say
if they were on the dead body.
I was like, what's cooler than Randy Macho Man Savage?
Almost socks? Everything, but continue.
No. And I started thinking about how much I missed Randy Macho Man Savage, like being a figure both in Florida and in the world. And that led me down a path, and I'm getting there. Bear with me, everyone. This is a weird path, but it gets to where I wanted to talk about. And I started thinking about, like, there was a period.
Wait a minute, are we still talking about Randy Macho Man, or is this starting to segue? Because I want to say something about Randy Macho Man if we're segueing.
It's going
to
slowly segue, but okay. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know what's funny is thinking back on him, he might have been a one-dimensional. I'm not sure he was even two-dimensional because, like the oh yeah is basically the only thing, you know, that and jumping on another men is it, you know, like.
He had other facets to his game. I'm sure.
I'm sure as a human being he did, but unlike the Hulk who was good and then went bad and then went good and then went just kind of B-list, D-list.
No, I think
C-list.
He was just insane.
Macho Man was just like, you know, sunglasses, crap hanging off his arms.
I think one of the things that was so endearing to me about him, and
that was why he did so good on the Slim Jim commercials, because everything you needed to know about Macho Man could be told in just the one, like the,
oh,
the,
yeah.
the two lines,
two,
yeah, yeah,
two words,
exactly,
one word if you use a hyphen.
We need heroes that simple today.
I know, but anyway, and I was like starting to think, because I enjoyed his brand of insanity very much, like. There was nothing hidden about how crazy he was. Like, it was just, there it is. I'm like, I'm crazy, yeah. And I actually met him in real life a couple of times.
IRL.
That's how we say it, IRL,
you know.
Oh, really?
Well, that's, you know, in text. That means in real life.
Wow,
know.
Cool.
Yeah.
You learn, knowledge is power.
That's how the kids said it a decade ago.
when that shirt was in fashion.
Probably. So, yeah.
Well, I met him IRL when I was a restaurant manager, because he would come in, it was at the local gym you would work out. And I started thinking about, there was a period when the local shock jock was friends with the Hulk Hogan, and they would like mercilessly like berate him and belittle Macho Man. I don't remember why there was this feud. It was probably just whatever. And they would continually kind of harass him.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's hard to say
how much of that was real, though. I mean, that might have just been, you know.
Hindsight is like, boy, at the time, Shock Jocks ruled the earth. That's where we're going with this conversation after music. But then, and then Hulk Hogan was popular, and then it was funny to pick on Macho Man. And boy, that switched, huh? Because now Macho Man is kind of...
Well, now the Shock Jock, the controversy between the Shock Jock and Hulk Hogan.
Well, yeah. The real thing about this was I actually even did homework about it. I was like, there was used to be, young listeners, there used to be a thing called Shock Jocks. And the morning zoo crews, you'd turn on a radio, and it would be a whole bunch of idiots just talking stupid. And the dumber they were, the more popular they were. Now they're just presidents. But I mean, back in the day...
And they would do dumber, and like in this market anyway, at least in Tampa Bay, and I imagine in most major markets.
Yeah.
You know, like LA, New York.
See, we got like a lower tier, didn't we?
Yes and no. Uh-huh. I mean,
ours was the dumbest of dumb.
Tampa Bay was a big market for this part of the country.
That's true. But
as opposed to Jacksonville
or Orlando, because Orlando's so not transient, but
no, transient. You kind of had it right there.
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly just either people that are in the industry of
the entertainment/tourism industry,
or the tourists / people being entertained, you know.
Yeah, most of that town is there to support them a little bit to support NASA, but
so this was a very strange time, and I started thinking about that time when that was a thing. Now we're gonna go to some music, but then when we come back, we're gonna
deep dive
into what. If you're a younger listener, first of all, enjoy your cartilage. Second, wait till you hear what this thing.
Yeah, save those knees.
Wait till you hear what this thing called a air quotes shock jock was. Because you might not even believe it. It was crazy. All right, we'll be right back. Here's some music.
You heard Marsalis threw Tony Rockyhara out a four-story window for giving me a foot massage? Mm-hmm. Can you believe that?
Well, I mean, the time I was told, it sounded reasonable.
Marsalis throwing Tony out of a four-story window for massaging my feet seemed reasonable.
No, it seemed excessive, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen.
We'll be right back. Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
All right, that was, of course, Satan's Pilgrims from their Psyxploitation CD. I played Night of the Face, Cycle Swami, Rainy Day Green Stop Sign, okay, and Psych a Go Go, Psych Out.
So is that a stop sign you skid through?
I guess. I don't know. Weird. You have to watch
as opposed
it.
To a sunny day. There's stop a, sign.
This,
I won't stomp the cat.
This radio show is being filmed before a live feline audience again. So back to the original thing where there was these things called shock jocks, and you go, and it was just a whole bunch of people, and
I'm picturing like really buff dudes holding cattle prongs.
Oh no, they were all very fat and dumb, and they were except for Howard Stern, who was very thin, and I can't call him dumb. He's done pretty well for himself.
Yeah, he pandered. He played down though.
Yeah, for sure. And it was literally these 2 or 3 hour shows, or sometimes I think 4 hour shows. Every radio station had this block of time that was just crazy time. And
for some reason, it was always the morning.
I know. Wouldn't that be like late night?
You would think, because after people get to work, you would think that would be like the,
And I have to admit, I was caught up in shock jock fever in the 90s a little bit.
You wore spandex and...
Was the 80s.
Oh, sorry. wrong fever.
Wrong fever. Totally wrong fever. Yeah. And it was just this weird entity that radio stations and I guess
he didn't deny the spandex. He just corrected the era. I placed 80s. Him in. Yeah. Anyway,
we all had mullets and spandex at some point in life if you lived through the 80s. But it just was such an odd thing. And if you listen to the content of the shows, they were really bad. I don't even like.
Well, they didn't have writers; they had producers, which is basically like reality TV today. You know,
they don't have
writers, and they had to come up with crap to keep people listening every single damn day.
I remember what was the Family Guy was like. The dog and I forget what the dog's name and Stewie were pretending that they had their own shock jock station.
They were shooting hot dogs
with a tennis gut ball at a girl in a bikini, and I was like, yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you'd hear, and it was always just it was a terrible time. Oh my god, and
there would be controversies, there'd be things where the police would get involved, or there would be lawsuits. And the crappy part is that was actually part of the plan. When one of them was able to do something outlandish enough that it actually got to that level, that turned into just like publicity and media.
Free publicity.
Yeah. Suddenly, the nightly news is talking about the local shock jock.
Yep.
And they say if it bleeds, it leads.
Well, I remember
good news.
Hey, the same thing happened. I had a public access show in Pinellas County.
Sexual
chocolate.
Okay.
And there was this guy in Tampa.
Rhonda Storm.
Who hit did something crazy. I don't even remember what it was.
He had a sock poked up. It was Rhonda Storm, which was the, hopefully she's gone.
I don't know.
It was a Tampa politician just like city council or something.
Okay.
She started looking at public access and became, offended by the content that was on there.
Thank God she didn't find my show. She would have been very offended.
Well, you're in Pinellas County, so a little different. And in one of his shows, apparently, as a sock puppet character threatened or made a comment about wanting to sodomize her. And she she tried to get the police involved because she felt threatened.
Yeah, I know.
What she said, which was just, the funny part about that is that this was a public access show that was probably on after 10 o'clock at night on a channel that most people didn't even know they had on cable.
No.
And if she just kept her mouth shut about it, there'd have been nothing. I would have never heard about it. You would have never heard about it. But now that, but she did, and then they started showing the segment where the sock puppet.
It got a life of its own.
Made her look dumber and dumber for keeping on with it.
Then viewership spiked for about 12 minutes.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh, this is terrible. Look at those ficuses. And then they just turn it off, and that's what everyone did.
Between two ferns.
Yeah. And, and that was it. But being on... my show was pretty not nasty, but it was rough. It was aired late because it had to be.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
But you weren't going for shock. I mean, it was dumb humor that appealed to a segment of the population that
yeah. stays up at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Is up at 4 a.m. when they get home. But anyway, you know, so I was kind of like watching it like, oh no, this is bad news. You know, because even the guys that were running the studio were like, yeah, this, don't think this publicity is not good publicity. This is how you get shut down. Now, yes, you got more viewership, but something small like public access, that's how it goes away.
See, but the problem there is, you know, I see two sides to that, though. Uh-huh. From the people running the station, you know, like your friend who worked at the public access station.
He's getting calls.
That's bad news.
Hate
for the dude actually doing the show, it's good news. Because if he gets enough controversy and enough whatever, then he can parlay that into something else. Now everybody else
gone wild. He's not going to get a real job, but he's going to.
But I mean, you know, or cable late night or something. But you know, the people who are actually working, you know, and everybody else on the show and the evangelizing plumber guy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't remember what his name was, but
Bikers for Jesus.
It sucks for everyone else. But, you know, it's like he sinks the ship and then takes the only life raft, you know?
Yeah. And that's what, you know, with the back to the shock talk stuff, that the snake just kind of ate its tail. You know, it was circling the drain. Nothing, it was dying a natural death when nothing's shocking anymore. So that, you know, the term shock talk was even almost a parody where it became, people became made fun of it on shows, and
where it turned into a cartoon of itself.
Zoo, you know? Crews were easy targets for people that had an IQ of more than like 9 or 10.
Yeah.
You know, so it was, it became a joke in itself, you know, so it went away. But it's just one of those things where I was just thinking about, because I don't know. I know that the Macho Man, back to the original thing, like,
oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Like that he died soon after this stuff.
Yeah.
So the ending of his life, he had to care about this guy like doing, like harassing him basically, you know, on air. And it was unwelcomed, you know, it was one of those things where there was like all potential lawsuits and stuff like that. And you're like, I don't know, man, that's kind of sad in a way. But you're like, you're saying maybe it was even planned. I don't know.
But even if it wasn't, he still had his Slim Jim money. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know, people in California still loved him. Who cared about the, you know, the idiots in Tampa Bay?
Valid point. Here's some more valid points. It's called music, and it's for your ears.
I'm the worst toy maker in the world. I'm a cotton-headed ninny muggins.
Strange settings laid before me. I will. Remember all the things that I said.
Change up, huh? That was Geraldine, Moonstone City. That was Because of You, Here for You, and Child in Your Eyes. Because of You, Here for You, I'm Here.
That's funny. These are all songs talking to a person.
Yes.
You know?
There's a child in your eyes, and I'm here for you because of you. And I don't know what the hell all that means. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So basically, the moral of this story is, yay, Randy Macho Man Savage. If you find yourself near a zoo crew or morning shock jock, run and listen to more...
You also may have time travel.
Yeah, you're also in the 90s.
So be careful.
Buy stock in Macintosh because it was about a nickel for 100 shares back then because it was worthless. And
talk to your mom because she might become attracted to you instead of your dad.
And if you see a DeLorean, steal it and get it to 21.21 gigawatts and hit 88 miles an hour. And now this has just evolved into stupidity. Well, I'm a shock jock now. That's crazy. Yeah. No, I'm not.
I actually bought Back to the Future, the trilogy, for Blu-ray during Amazon Prime Day last week.
Sweet.
Yeah. Okay. I had it on, I mean, I have it on DVD. But you know, the quality of the original masters has improved drastically since they output them to DVD.
I'm jealous because I love those movies. Yeah. I love all three of them. All right, that's it for this week. My name's Matt, with me as always.
Bro me.
And we'll see you next week for more shenanigans.